Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to get into a breaking story about the Fed and their next meeting. The market, some market participants are predicting the Fed, Jerome Powell, could raise rates by more than 50 basis points. So let's get into the story and then try to think through A, what the probability is. And B, if they hike more than 50 basis points, let's say they hike 75 basis points or even 1%, what does that do to the stock market? And what does that do to the economy when we just had a GDP print of negative 1.4%? Let's get right into the article. Oh, that's Paul Volcker. Wrong article. All right, let me zoom in a bit for you guys. Headline, the Fed is expected to raise rates by half a point. Investors wonder if it will get more aggressive. And there's some analysts, I think the guy at Bank of America, said there's like a 1 in 5 chance they could go higher. Key talking points, Fed is expected to raise rates Wednesday for the second time since 2018. And like it's a big deal, right? We're talking as if the Fed is contemplating raising rates to like 15%. And when you really zoom out and think about it, you just see the absurdity that the market is freaking out because the Fed might raise to 1% instead of the 75 basis points. 1%, and the market's having a conniption. Or I think that tantrum is the word they like to use. Second key talking point, the central bank is also expected to launch a program to reduce its massive bond holdings by $95 billion a month starting in June. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of been out of the news, so I haven't put much thought into quantitative tightening, QT, lately. But man, just think about what the market is doing right now. Or like the NASDAQ. Think about what the NASDAQ has done since November. And now, adding on top of that, this potential rate hike of 75 basis points and continual hikes. It's not like they're going to stop there. They are saying, and if we're taking them at their word, which we probably shouldn't, but if we're believing kind of the, or just taking the bond market's word, they're going to raise, get up to 2.5% by the end of the year while they start quantitative tightening. So think about the correlation that you guys have seen many, many times on my whiteboard videos between the size of the Fed's balance sheet and the stock market. I mean, they go up in lockstep. So if that is a causal effect there, then we should assume that when the Fed's balance sheet starts to decrease, the stock market will even have more downward pressure than we have seen just by the Fed talking about raising rates when they really haven't done anything. And let's be honest, they've only raised 25 basis points. They've only talked about raising rates, and the market is still down however many percentage points. And we've got to add in there, they've reduced the quantitative easing from $120 billion a month down to zero. So again, if what we have seen since November is a result of them just talking about raising rates, them bringing down QE to zero, what on earth is going to happen if they get Fed funds up to 2%, 2.5%, while at the same time doing quantitative tightening, reducing the size of their balance sheet? Whoo, boy. This goes back to our earlier video. This is why I like to have a little bit of cash on the sidelines. I know there's a huge negative carry. I get it. But wow. Yeah, definitely want to hold some gold. Definitely want to hold some cash. At least for me. That's not investment advice. That's just what I'm doing. Now, I'd like to say own Bitcoin in this environment too. But unfortunately, Bitcoin is trading right alongside the NASDAQ. So, I mean, what's bad for the NASDAQ seems to be bad for Bitcoin. Hopefully that'll change soon. The markets are braced for a hawkish Fed, but many investors are wondering if Powell will signal central bank is willing to get even tougher with rate increases, as if they've been tough. They've raised 25 basis points, for heaven's sakes. Tough. I love how the media makes it seem as though Powell's like a reincarnation of Paul Volcker or something like that. Just ridiculous. Target rate after this week's boost would be well off zero, but may be well below the market expectations of 2.8% by year's end. Yeah, I know the bond market is the smart money, and the Fed is always going to follow the two-year. I get it. I totally get it. But I'm sure I'm probably wrong. But man, I just can't get my head around a Fed funds rate of 2.8%. Maybe it's just because as human beings, we're just hardwired for this recency bias. So since it just hasn't been prevalent recently, then maybe I'm just having a hard time envisioning it moving forward. And that's something I need to work on. But boy, oh boy, I just can't believe that they can get to that level while doing quantitative tightening and not break the market to a point of having to reverse course. We'll have to see how it plays out. The central bank's communication on Wednesday will be key, given the slowing of some data. While inflation is some data, how about economic growth contracted? I like that I say economic growth contracted, making it seem like the economy is still growing, but it's just growing at a slower rate. You see how the media spins that? It's not economic growth contracted. That's like an oxymoron, which is basically how I would describe the mainstream media. Emphasis on the moron, of course. But isn't it more appropriate to say the economy contracted by 1.4% when the GDP print was negative 1.4%? It's not like it went from 6.4% down to 5% as far as economic growth, meaning there's a decline of 1.4%. No. The print was flat out negative. But economists say it was distorted by trade data. Oh, this is rich. And I heard Schiff talk about this the other day too, and he just nailed it. And he pointed out they take GDP and then they have to subtract the trade deficit or add in a trade surplus. Obviously, in our case, it's always going to be a deficit in the United States, because those are transactions that although they may have occurred in the United States, that economic output had nothing to do with the domestic economy at all. Obviously, those goods and services were created somewhere else. So they have to net that out. And then if there's a deficit, they have to subtract that from GDP. Makes a lot of sense. And if you want to really get your head around this, just take it to an extreme. Let's just assume for a moment that GDP was $20 trillion. Let's also assume for a moment the trade deficit was $20 trillion, meaning every single good or service produced or purchased that went into the GDP number was produced overseas. Would you say that our economy was strong? No, we didn't produce any. We literally produced zero. We had zero economic activity. The only thing we do is just printed dollars and bought stuff, right? So obviously I'm taking it to a massive extreme, but I'm doing that just so we can better understand the concept. And you should absolutely reduce GDP by the trade deficit. But what they're saying is, oh, the economy is still red hot, because if it wasn't for the trade deficit being so high, then the GDP print would have been a lot better. Well, okay. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And what they're saying is they expect the trade deficit to decrease moving forward. How? Why? What would make you think the trade deficit would decrease? Look at the trend. It's nothing but straight up as far as the size of the trade deficit. So what would lead you to the conclusion that it's going to decrease moving forward? If anything, if you look at the trend, I would assume that it's going to increase moving forward. But Schiff points out the shenanigans here very well. And it's just, again, the mainstream media trying to spin anything to make you believe the economy is somehow strong while the economy is somehow is contracting. It's like, oh, geez. Schiff says, you know, it's the ultimate doublespeak, the Orwellian doublespeak. And he's just right on the money. I don't see how people buy this. And nor do I see how the mainstream media, the financial media, regurgitates this as though it's truth. Like you hear Jim Cramer or something like that say, oh, yeah, this makes sense. Or Steve Leisman, oh, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. I mean, GDP contracted by 1.4%, but, oh, well, obviously the economy is still hot. The economy is booming, but yet contracting. only in 2022. And here's useful idiot number one. Jim Cramer defends Fed Chair Powell's efforts against inflation. He may figure this out. Yeah, you got it. He may figure it out. This the central planner is so intelligent that he's just going to bring us down to this soft landing, and we're never going to know the difference, and the economy is just going to continue to boom. Has there ever been a bigger financial mouthpiece for the global elite, the central planners and the authoritarians? And I'm referring to Jim Cramer. I mean, he is like the main, I don't know if they like had a conversation with him and said, hey, you're our guy. You need to be the, we'll call it the financial ministry of truth. You need to be our version of Joseph Goebbels or something when it comes to the financial media. You need to be our propaganda guy when it comes to financial media. And he just said, sure, sign me up. How much are you going to pay me? I'm not saying that that's what happened, but boy, it sure seems like that. Futures market is pricing in Fed funds rate of 2.8%, like we said earlier, which would take roughly 2.5% of additional hiking in 2022. Traders are betting 50 basis point hike this week, as well as to 50 or more for each of the next three meetings, June, July, September. I mean, again, I just can't get my head around that. I can't, obviously the probability is above zero, but man, I think it's low that they're able to get that high, especially if they're doing quantitative tightening in addition to that. So now they look at a chart of PCE, what the Fed calls core inflation. So this is stripping out energy and food, which is obviously essential. The crosswinds are tough. I think the fundamental question is clear, the article says. It's just how quickly inflation comes down, or does the Fed accelerate tightening in the next 4 or 5 months? This is someone named Michael Schumacher, not to be confused with the epic Formula One driver, Wells Fargo's director rates strategy. So this, I mean, I kind of agree. You just got to see how fast they accelerate and how quickly it'll take them to break something. A lot of policymakers say they want to get to the neutral rate at 2.5% plus. I don't know why that's, why is that the neutral rate? Who deemed themselves king and just said, this is the neutral rate? I don't know. I guess we have a pope of interest rates or something like that. Well, I guess that might be Jerome Powell. So maybe he's the Voldemort of interest rates. So 3.3% by the middle of next year. That's too low, I think. There's a lot of people out there saying Fed funds has to go much higher. I don't know. See, I'm someone that believes, or my base case is, the Fed doesn't have to take rates positive in real terms in order to get inflation down. I think it'll just destroy aggregate demand to a point that would be similar to how much aggregate demand went down as a result of Volcker taking rates positive back in 81, 82 or 80, 81. I think the same, what's the right word? I think the same, will have the same result, even though you're not taking rates that high. Maybe that's what they're referring to as the neutral rate. But again, I don't know how they're determining what the neutral rate is, other than just looking at the bond market and reading what the bond market is saying, and then saying that's their prediction that they are so smart they came up with on their own. Maybe that's what they're doing. Here's the 10-year treasury yield, just showing how recently it's just gone pretty much straight up here. Obviously very volatile, but close to 3% now. But again, that's historically incredibly low. If the Fed clearly communicated its intentions, the market could take quicker tightening in stride. They could accelerate the pace and go faster, and then they could pivot. Not really, because, I mean, they're talking about the Fed getting even more hawkish in what they say, and then using those market expectations policies, what they would call it, to bring down the rate of inflation. But my point there is, and they wouldn't even have to increase interest rates. And I think this is their game. I think they know the economy cannot withstand higher interest rates. They know deep down the economy is not booming. Although they can't say that, because then they freak everyone out, and because everyone's levered up so much and demand has to remain high, it's kind of this self-fulfilling prophecy. So the only thing they can do is try to talk down inflation by saying, we're going to get tough on rates. We're going to raise. And this brings down the market without them having to actually raise, which would really, really, really destroy kind of the underpinnings of the market, because you would bring down aggregate demand to such a degree. Since the last meeting, the outlook for the economy has deteriorated and markets have thrown a tantrum. Fed officials have been more outspoken about their determination to fight inflation. Yeah, and again, I think this is their game. I think it's all about just talk a big talk, but at the end of the day, not too much action. Now we go on to this gentleman, last name Ryder. I'm not sure who he is, but he said, I guess they're paraphrasing, but he said he does not foresee a recession this year because the economy is too strong. Again, this incredible doublespeak. I mean, I just don't know how a grown adult can not only say this out loud, but say this in an interview with CNBC that might have even been televised. Like, how could you say that? Yes, we've got a negative GDP print, but we're not going to have a recession this year because the economy is just too strong. It's like, how are you measuring the economy? Like, what's going to be amazing is how the financial media is going to spin it if we do get two consecutive quarters of negative GDP, which would be the definition of an economic recession. How are they going to spin it then? Say, yes, we're in a recession, but I mean, obviously the economy is still booming. Just we're in a recessionary boom. That's probably what they're going to say. That, just write that down, because I don't make too many predictions, but I'm predicting that this is going to be a new phrase in the financial media throughout the rest of 2022, is we are in a recessionary boom. So strategists do not expect the Fed to be concerned about either the stock market sell-off or the run-up in bond. Yeah, give me a break. As if the Fed's not concerned about the level of the stock market. I mean, come on. They want to be tightening financial conditions. That's part of their story. He expects Powell to say tightening was not unexpected. Okay. He will say the economy is strong and Fed getting prices back. Again, how can the Fed say this out loud? And not only that, but the Fed is supposedly the smartest financial institution in the United States. They're the 900 PhDs. My point is, if they're spewing this doublespeak as well, meaning the recessionary boom, how on earth can anyone take them at their word moving forward? Obviously, no one in the rebel capitalist community will do that. But it's amazing that the sheeple out there most likely will still continue to look at the Fed as though they're some sort of they have some sort of predictive ability, and that they're the smartest people in the room, and that we should listen to them, and they are perfectly competent to micromanage the economy, even though they're coming out and they've never gotten a prediction right. They're always lying through their teeth. They're trying to manipulate you using psychology and expectations policy. And my opinion, or my prediction, excuse me, is they'll continue this just bananas, insane doublespeak moving forward, where they'll try to make you believe that even if the economy is contracting, the economy is still growing. Oh, there you go. You can't make this stuff up. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.